We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Shut up!
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. I'm still getting used to playing off the intro music since the boys normally handle that. Split Zone Duo, my name is Stephen Godfrey at 38 Godfrey at Split Zone Duo. To find all the information on all the social media, splitzoneduo.com. Go visit our website. Go sign up for our newsletter. Not a lot of announcements today. Welcome to the transition between week two and week three. We have, let's see here. We have a newsletter that I'm going to go ahead and just give Alex a little bit more anxiety than the base operating anxiety that he probably has and announce we're going to debut Meshpoint, our new newsletter this week. Alex is going to have some original content in there. As you know, myself, Richard, Alex, we write for a variety of outlets and then we all kind of come back here and talk about it. You know, some might say it's a business operation. It's a decently effective hustle, at least for the, you know, for the moment. So go to splitzoneduo.com, sign up for Meshpoint. Meshpoint will be reminders, useful links for future live events, that kind of stuff. Also, I don't think we've talked enough or really at all about the new merch. So if you go to splitzoneduo.com and click on merch, or you can go to szdshop.com, Alex will squat on a URL. He is a tactical wizard that way. We have new merchandise, the SED sticker sheet, the giant sticker, i.e. like what you throw on a laptop kind of deal, or maybe like a folder. Just by saying folder, I'm not dating myself, am I? Like, I have kids in school, they still bring home a pretty significant amount of paper. Folders are still in use. There's a traditional ceramic mug. There is the can koozie, the sort of hard can koozie, a mouse pad, a stainless steel bottle, and a stainless steel tumbler. All those you can order at splitzoneduo.com, or you can go directly to the merch site at szdshop.com. I don't know what he's writing for Meshpoint, actually. I think it might be Pac-12-ish stuff. I don't know. I know that we're all going to take turns on doing fun stuff on there. In my case, it's going to be batshit. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. So if I have the sticks on Meshpoint one week, it's going to be stuff that I wouldn't, like, why would I even waste my time going through the pitch process of the post? Or would my co-host be too annoyed if I put it in the main show, Split Zone Duo, or is it funnier in writing than if I did it on the single wing? That's going to be my... That's my flow chart for my mesh points. Just real weird, dumb shit. Sign up, though. I've explained before, if you're a patron, thank you. And by the way, we can finish out this episode. We will have a mailbag at the end of every single wing moving forward. There's one already queued up, so you should have it in your patron feed as you're listening to this on the free feed. Thank you. You can go to patreon.com/SZD. Patreon.com/SZD. I haven't brought this up in like a month because I spook the number, but we are a couple hundred away, patrons, from the giant blowout blindside episode. And if you don't know, I promised this before the news on the blindside broke this summer about Michael Orr basically saying, like, yes, the shit was Fugazi. If we hit 5,000 patrons, I will record a live commentary track in sync with the Blindside movie. If you are familiar with this, some podcasts in different genres, not really in sports, they do this. I think I learned it from, like, I can't remember who did. Well, I mean, like, it's the old Mystery Science Theater gimmick, essentially. That's, I should probably pay homage there, right? And then they did riff tracks. I'm going to MST3K the Blindside. I want to do this. I want to, I'll even reread the book because wow, what a blemish on the Michael Lewis record. Seriously. And on the cinematic and the Michael Lewis cinematic au revoir is that you have, you know, Moneyball is it pains me how rewatchable that film is. Cause I really have a tough time explaining war. Wins above replacement. I can tell you roughly what that means, but then I still don't really understand it, how you pull one player out of the game and that means you have 10 less wins in a season. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I know 10 WAR is high, but whatever. Point is, I don't like advanced analytics. I mean, I don't dislike them. I used to do a podcast about them, but it's not my thing. And you go back and you watch Moneyball, and The Big Short is, I mean, honestly, it's kind of, for some of the other projects I'm working on, a little bit of a foundational inspiration for how you took such a dense and unattractive piece of source material and turned it into not only a wildly accessible film, but also an emotional film. A fun film. I think they were really creative in the way that they delivered and disseminated information in that film. And then you have The Blind Side. Are there other Michael Lewis movies I'm not thinking of? I don't know. It's not what I'm here to talk about today. Films of Michael Lewis. If I had a producer that I guess, I don't know, was just trapped in my home, I could have them do this. No, it's just the three. Blindside 09, Moneyball 11. Mwah, so good. Big Short 15. I wonder how weird it's going to be to visit Moneyball when the A's win the World Series in Vegas in like 2030. I don't know. It's kind of painful. I mean, because like, the funny thing about The Big Short is like it cycles through relevance. If you follow, I don't really follow the markets. I don't have a reason to, but, other than like, hey, are we about to go through another crippling recession because I'm running a small business and I was foolish enough to procreate three times. But, you know, The Big Short, as it relates to CDO specifically, it's come back in the news periodically. And then also Michael Burry was, I think, tangentially involved in the GameStop fracas. So, yeah, Michael Lewis, Blindside. Whew. My guy. Would love to do this for 3 hours, and it will take 3 hours to record that. It would be a 3-hour commentary track. If you are unfamiliar, the track will be the length of the film plus commentary. And I don't know if I'll tell people like, all right, pause the movie here so we can get into something, then unpause, or I'll just have talking points after the fact or something like that, because I feel like that would be really hard. I might even bring in a special guest. I don't know who yet that would work with me in that. I mean, what's Blindside? What does Blindside run? Okay, 2 hours and 6 minutes. So it's I wouldn't say brisk, but you know, it's not a slog. It's a slog because it's a shitty film, but just packed with good stuff in it. It's weird. There's some great actors in that movie. I'm not kidding. Did you know the guy who plays Hugh Freeze in that movie is actually like a legit badass actor, writer, director? Not even kidding. So they don't call it Hugh. I mean, they don't call him Hugh Freeze in the movie or whatever, but there's an actor named Ray McKinnon. If you are a Deadwood fan, which if you are breathing air on this earth, how could you not be a Deadwood fan? Ray McKinnon was the, I got to describe this carefully so I don't spoil it, because I want people to go back and watch Deadwood. He's the preacher in Deadwood, and I'll leave it at that. I almost spoiled something, but he starts off as the Reverend Smith in Deadwood. And then he also created a show that nobody watched, that I think is on Netflix now, called Rectify, about a man who is exonerated from death row in Georgia. And it hits for me because it's a Georgia that is of my roots. That wasn't good. It's a fictitious slice of Georgia that feels very similar to the place that I'm from and my people are from. Anyways, it's a fantastic show. It feels like a film. It ran for, I think, 3 seasons, so it's pretty comestible. And I think it's, as I record this, it looks like it is on AMC Plus and or, depending on your region, Netflix. So bang on that. Ray McKinnon. Fucking amazing, talented dude. And he played Hugh Freeze. He played the Hugh Freeze character, which is the Michael Orr high school coach. And then Hugh Freeze shows up in the film. He is standing over the shoulder of Houston Nutt. Ironical. All right. So find less than 500-odd, 400-odd people, and let's make this happen. We're growing this business organically, and of course, to be genuine for a second, we do appreciate your support, but I set a number. I'm not backing off of it, but given recent events, I so desperately want to do this. I might even just rent out a space and have some people come in and get micro. Like it depends. If we get there, I want to do this. I want to do this big. I really want to knock this one out. So, depends on when we get there. It depends on when we do it. So, I wrote a column this week at the Washington Post. If you have not subscribed and you would like to, you can go to washingtonpost.com/SZD. That sign up, that subscription sign up will basically show the Washington Post that, hey, people of our pirate ship flotilla internet ilk are actually worth mainstream attention. Just going to be totally transparent about that. There's no discount. It's just, this is a sign up code. I asked them, when I went to the Washington Post meeting, the first one for this column back in March, I said, I want a sign up code. I want some way to track people that are on my ship in my tribe, what have you, who are coming over to WAPO, because I want you to know. And the reason I said that in the meeting, this is completely true. I was sitting there eating a deli sandwich, talking to sports editor, and I said, please make this happen. I'm like, I know it's unorthodox for your contributors, because like it's a piece of legacy media. They don't have people in the media who think and talk and put so much of a business lens on things, because we were trained in journalism school not to do that shit. We're not even supposed to talk to the ad department, but that was before the world ended in media, and we all have to sort of run our own. We have the four wallet. We have to do it all, and so I really, really pressed them on that. They got it to me right at the end of week one. And so I've asked people, if you're going to sign up, use that code, because that's going to show people. I almost said gray lady. It's not the gray lady. That's going to show people where democracy doesn't die in darkness, that we are a legitimate outfit of college football consumers, appreciators. And we are. So thank you for doing that if you did that. I have a column about Jeff Lebby. I have a not connected to Jeff Lebby. I want to be clear here. You know, my commas need to be right. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes. The anchor piece of the column is about Jeff Lebby in Oklahoma and Art Briles. There is another section that I think, if you're listening to this, will be a 101 review style situation for you. But, you know, also when you're at a legacy media thing, you got to play big, you got to play broad. So I just kind of politely reintroduced the world to the situation that is the Jimbo Fisher contract. I picked a game of the week. I'll talk about that on the big show this week. And then I had a note about minority coaches, because you have I couldn't really find a way to track this stat. So I just cut it off at the playoff era and tried to do it all like with envelope math. Two black head coaches in a P5 non-conference game this weekend. Dino Babers, Ryan Walters, Syracuse, Purdue. That's it. RJ's been cranking stuff out at SI, Alex at Slate. Appreciate your clickage and your patronage at those places. This one really mandates a break before a transition. So maybe an exhausted sigh will do. Mel Tucker. I have received a lot of questions in our patron inbox about how to receive what's going on with Mel Tucker. I want to be clear. I'm recording this September the 12th, about right before 1 o'clock Central Time. That's not going to mean anything to you as you listen to this, but I'm just telling you there's a finite date to this, because this has sort of moved a little rhythmically since it broke, about the details involving Mel Tucker and the speaker activist Brenda Tracy. Okay. So where it stands right now as I record this is that Mel Tucker is suspended without pay from Michigan State. There is a Title IX investigation at Michigan State currently. Okay. There were accusations made by Tracy about Tucker, and then Tucker about Tracy. There is a, and I'm always clear to explain this. What journalists are doing right now, as information comes out, and it looks like I honestly don't even know beat by beat because I was traveling on Sunday. I think ESPN had it, and then USA Today had it, and then the Free Press had it in some order. It looks like one got Tracy on the record, and then the other ran with the information. And there are a lot of there's a lot of questions currently that I'm not going to try to answer, because I would strongly advise we not, you know, what's still saying, fools rush in. Things look a certain way from what I can tell on the timing of, well, okay, why is this, we're always kind of take a step back and say, why is this breaking right now? Okay, who had this information? How long has Michigan State known about this in the process? Why is this public, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Okay. A lot of that is going on. I would strongly encourage that we let it unfold out a bit more, only because privately, when I talk to other people that are, you know, either work in media or work in college football, it's not a fully complete picture yet. However, there are a couple things that are, as of right now, impossible to ignore and very easy to frame. And that's what I want to talk about today, because this thing will drag. I also want to be very clear about something. I got a lot of questions about the Michigan State job. I'm not going to be naive about this. We run a business at Split Zone trying to provide y'all the most accurate information as it breaks to our ears about jobs, about conference realignment, about who's getting fired, who's getting hired. That's the ugly business of this, and that's the reality, and that's also how we run our business. And that is that this is an issue of in the lightest sense, I would say misconduct. It's a sensitive topic because it goes into the larger issue at hand, which is just like, it's impossible for me to ignore the symmetry of this happening and Lebby having no idea why people don't like his fucking father-in-law. There's a base setting on how people in power in college football receive sexual assault and the problems that exist in systems that allow sexual assault to occur, that allow sexual assault not to be dealt with, that suppress victims, that fail to educate, that fail to change cultures. I don't use culture lightly. I know it's fucking beat to death. I'm not talking about, hey, our locker room likes each other. I'm talking about culture, sexual cultures on college campuses, in athletic facilities, all of that. So there's a bigger issue here at hand. But if you're really looking for a simple way to receive and perceive what's going on with Mel Tucker in Michigan State without any further information from right now, I'm going to give you a very craven, I'm going to give you a very raw way to perceive this. Because what I often find, and this is what I was trying to get at with the Lebby column in the Post, what I often find is that you lose a portion of an audience who needs to hear this. Like, as a preacher say, like, you know, the part of the congregation who needs to hear this, you lose a portion of the folks who need to hear this as you start to proceed with fact, because they are searching so desperately for any deniability, anything that they can rebut. And I'm not talking about an objective, a legal pursuit of the truth, which is what law enforcement is tasked with in this instance, or in any instance of sexual impropriety or assault within our systems and structures, public or private. There's people who just don't want this. There's people who don't want to acknowledge that it's a problem. There's people who don't want to acknowledge that these women are telling the truth. There's people who just, for whatever fucking motive, be it personal, be it some sort of specific bespoke grievance, or just a fucking blanket political affiliation. So I'm not going to do that today. And also, I think we're still learning these details. I would really be interested to see how much transparency we can get at the end of this investigation. If you were to ask me, people have asked, is Mel Tucker going to get fired? Do you know of a lot of people who come out of this Title IX situation, and then just, yep, you know what? He's okay. No. Probability tells us he will not be the coach at Michigan State again. Some of the positioning already tells me that we're already advancing to the pay me phase of this, where Tucker is basically positioning his public statements about Tracy to try and sow doubt and position himself as a victim, which is a very common tactic. And it's really just getting down to the buyout fight is what I'm trying to say, which means I would also tell you we have it slotted for our patron show on Thursday, what the Michigan State job looks like moving forward. So I don't have the luxury of time in my life right now. I wouldn't waste the fucking time if I thought he was coming back. And you know who really doesn't waste time? Agencies. And agencies immediately mobilized to start looking at lists. That's why I started. That's when I called the boys and I was like, hey, we'll figure out a Michigan State short list. I'll just get it going. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read two paragraphs from the latest piece that, and this is where I'm going to build my boilerplate as we move through the Mel Tucker, Brenda Tracy thing. This is Dan Murphy for ESPN. I'm not reading the story. I'm just going to give you a little slice, and we'll start here. Every other detail doesn't matter, in my opinion. This is where we're going to operate from. Tucker, in a statement issued Monday through his attorney, said that he developed, quote, an intimate adult relationship with Tracy, and that her claims that he harassed her are completely false. That was a quote around completely false. Okay, there's that information. Whatever I say from here on out, whatever you hear from here on out, I need you to take that piece of information. I need you to write it down and do an equal sign and say, you fucked up. You fucked up. You fucked this up. Mel Tucker, you fucked this up. I don't really care from here on out what other information comes from the accusations between Tucker and Tracy, or what Tucker has to say about Tracy, or anything else short of one of the greatest, unless literal fucking mind control was involved. You fucked up. This is your fault. One more time. Tucker is claiming through his attorney he developed an intimate adult relationship with a public figure who is a vendor of the university, who's a vendor of many universities, who is arguably in the college football space, maybe the most famous name associated with raising awareness about sexual assault. This is where you pointed your dick. Nothing else from here on out matters in terms of who is responsible for what. This is your fucking fault. That's it. We can stop talking from here. Who's responsible? Mel Tucker. That's it. But I'll keep reading. He said in an upcoming hearing, Tucker did, he said in an upcoming hearing to assess whether he violated university policy is ridiculously flawed and not designed to arrive at the truth. This is a wonderful tactic. This is a fucking great PR tactic, what he's doing here. I will give the man his flowers. I'll give his legal team flowers. He's undercutting the credibility of the university hearing before it ever happens. Chances are your motives in doing so are that you know how fucked you are going into this. Because how can you get past the first fact? Michigan State Athletic Director Alan Haller, suspended Tucker without pay on Sunday night after the details of the claims against the coach were made public in a story written by USA Today. So I guess USA Today was first. Sorry. Yeah. I don't necessarily. So I want to be super clear. So I'll read a little bit more, but we really don't need any other information. Okay. Tracy operates a nonprofit company that tries to raise awareness about sexual misconduct, especially amongst college athletes. Tracy told university investigators that Tucker sent her gifts asked if she would date him if he wasn't married. Yes, Tucker is married. And masturbated while on the phone without her consent. Sorry, one more time. Masturbated while on the phone with her without her consent, according to details reported by USA Today. All right? So this is where we're going to use the cudgel that I just introduced for the rest of this discord, for the rest of this dialogue. It does not matter if you are a denier of sexual assault. It does not matter if you are a believer. It does not matter really what you believe at this point. Because it comes down to adults and responsibility. And I'm going to tell you why I'm reducing it to this one rule or maxim. I think, actually, there's no reason to fucking draw it out. This is how coaches talk to players. This is a man worth millions of dollars, which we'll get to in a second. This is how football cultures are built. There's that word again. This is the mystique that allows an inflation in coach salaries. Even as NIL and the portal and every other aspect of every other agent of change comes through and pushes the identity of college football in different directions, coaches reliably will assure you that they have an expertise in leadership, example setting. They all listen to Jocko. I started listening to the Jocko podcast because I had so many coaches tell me about Jocko. Nothing against Jocko. Get some. But this is the culture. I'm taking this young man who does not know better, and I am teaching him, and it is about accountability and responsibility. Because when those kids fuck up, they're held to a standard. And the standard is rooted in the philosophical concept of responsibility. You need to learn responsibility. We teach responsibility. It is your responsibility to know this playbook. It is your responsibility is the A-gap. Your responsibility is to make this meeting at 7 a.m. Your responsibility is to keep a 2.0 GPA. Your responsibility. One more time. The cudgel. One more time. Tucker admitted that he developed an intimate adult relationship with Tracy. Nothing else matters, okay? Nothing else matters. So here we go. Here's where we swing the cudgel. This is the, again, as of Tuesday, as this thing has sort of filtered out. While I am saddened by Miss Tracy's disclosure of the sensitive nature of this call, let me be perfectly clear. It was an entirely mutual, private event between two adults living at opposite ends of the country, Tucker's statement reads. She initiated the discussion that night, sent me a provocative picture of the two of us together, suggested, that's an, again, excellent tactic there, because what that's doing is implying the provocative picture of the two of us together, so he's implying a physical relationship or that something happened within physical space. That's very sneaky. Suggested what she may look like without clothes, and never once during the 36 minutes did she object in any manner, much less hang up the phone. It doesn't matter. You fucked up. You put your dick there. That's it. That's it. So I will not go any further because it's been tit and tat and call and response. You don't need narrative here. It doesn't matter from this point on whether you believe Tucker, that he's a victim of, play this fucking folly out. Let's do it right now. That the woman who's made a living, no, let's do it. Let's adopt this mindset. Go for it. This woman's made a living. She's some sort of hustler. She goes and she's this attractive woman, and she goes and she talks about, by the way, you know she's a sexual assault survivor. That's the whole fucking point. That's the root of what she does. She walks into this room where there's 90 young men, some odd, and these coaches, and she looks them all in the eye, and she talks about rape culture and what goes on, and every brutal detail you can in an effort to change cultures. And she's done this everywhere. As far, I mean, like, I haven't counted. I don't know if any, like, it may be on her company's website, but she's spoken at Michigan State. She's spoken to Tucker and his players before. This was the person who, let's just say, has the most malicious intent possible that you decided, I'm going to point my dick in that direction. I'm going to jerk off on the phone because she told me to. Was it at gunpoint? She was across country. Was there a red dot on your chest before she told you to start jacking it? To hell of a sniper? The fuck is going on here? You fucked up. If I entertain this entire narrative that you're building, Mel, it's that this malicious woman operating on the gray edges of a sensitive area came into your life and flirted with you, right? You have a dialogue, a narrative, blah, blah, whatever, bullshit. And you didn't say no. You're a married man. You didn't say no. The inherent, like, the communication makes it not private. He keeps wanting to framing it around consenting. Guy, you met her because your employer hired her to talk to your fucking subordinates about sex and sexual assault. And you said, I'm going to point my dick there. That's it. That's where I'm headed. So you are 110% at fault for every fucking thing that happens from here on out. That's what I'm trying to reduce this to. So if you're listening to this and you're going to read all these stories and you're going to try and look, Title IX is hard to understand sometimes. Okay. Title IX is sometimes, I swear, it's like purposefully fucked up. If you want to go in and have the most empathy possible for the victims in every one of these incidents, and then there's a Title IX investigation, you'll find yourself scratching your head. Or at least I do, as a layman, didn't go to law school. I try and bother Ryan Nanny about legal questions minimum 5 times a week, but, you know, Title IX's tricky. It doesn't matter what happens from here on out. And again, let's go down your bullshit path. And I do think it's bullshit. And even if it's not, it doesn't matter. It's about responsibility. This is what your $100 million, all this fucking money that is paid to you, what you sell for that, the service you provide, your brand worth is rooted in instilling responsibility, logistics responsibility, management responsibility, attitude response. That's the fucking core of what all these coaches are selling us. That's why they're so fucking special and important, right? If you don't believe me, Mel Tucker is a former Nick Saban assistant. And I don't mean to drag a man who has nothing to do with this into it, but the cult of Saban assistants permeated the sport, has for 20 years. Go read Saban's book that he wrote after the LSU national title. How good do you want to be? The entire crux of it is responsibility and self-discipline. And there's some management stuff in there too, like how to organize and that kind of thing. But it's about efficiency. It's do your job. There's an expectation that the people you bring in are doing their job to the best of their ability. It's always about responsibility. So I'm going to use your standards here, Mel. You fucked up, guy. You sent her gifts and money and that, and somehow, how did you think this was going to go? God, this is just the most dick-driven move I've ever seen. I'm talking about from the heterosexual male's prerogative or often absence of. This is a fucking all-timer, because this brings me to my final point. Did you know that Mel Tucker is owed more money by Michigan State than fucking Jimbo Fisher is by A&M? This is the greatest fumbling of a bag we may ever fucking see in college sports. Again, I hope I've held the ear of those who don't want to hear about sexual assault culture, who think it's all bullshit, think it's a progressive conspiracy. I've entertained all of your theories so far, and he's still at fault because it was his dick and his decision. He cannot be the victim when he jacks off on the phone to this person of all people. How is that going to end? This isn't a subordinate. This isn't an affair. This isn't a prostitute. This isn't a masseuse. This isn't a random person that you meet on a dating app and you cheat on your wife. Or even if you don't have a fucking a legal marriage, regardless of whatever your ideology or faith or whatever is, take all that away. How did you think this was going to end, guy? Did you ever think for once, you know what? I'm gonna fuck this bitch and be done with it. I'm serious. Did you think that was gonna happen? Did you think that you were just gonna maintain a pseudo-sexual relationship without actual sexual contact, and that was gonna be okay? How is this gonna end? It ends with your fucking money disappearing. More than likely. Mel Tucker scored, and we talked a lot about it on the show, one of the greatest, reflexive proxy extensions I've ever seen, reactive, just market reaction, basically, okay? And that was after 1 year as Michigan State's head coach. I talked about Mel Tucker so much in week one because everyone kept acting like Deion was the first guy to portal his way to a strong debut. And he wasn't. Remember Kenneth Walker? In November of 2021, Mel Tucker's name was floating around. So what did they do? He was 9-1. They gave him a $95 million contract. He was, at the time, the second highest paid coach in college football. I think that's changed. $95 million. Did anybody, and there's two separate, we got a silo here. I'm not saying if he deserved, did anybody think he was ever going to live up to that number? That doesn't mean don't take it. You always take the fucking money. Did anybody at the time think Michigan State is going to maintain 10 plus double digit win seasons every single year? This is less than 2 years ago that we're talking about. Mel Tucker being rumored for the LSU job. Mel Tucker, who was an assistant at Georgia. Mel Tucker was an assistant at Alabama. Left Colorado, and all he needed was some support, right? And that's what he finally got. Upsets Michigan. Gets fucking smoked by Ohio State. One of the most brutal wide receiver on secondary crime scenes in the history of Power 5 football. I don't care that he got the $95 million contract. Michigan State wanted to announce a seriousness, wanted a commitment. They wanted to change the image of being the workman-like Mark D'Antonio program that took fucking 3 stars and made them 3.5 stars and grinded you out 1-16-12. That's fine. You fucked that up. You fucked up. You did it. I don't care what she said. It doesn't really matter. Unless there was gunpoint involved, which I kind of doubt. I feel like that detail would have come out that someone forcibly made you masturbate. Would love to hear if that's the case. Guy. But I digress. As this story moves, so too will the midpoint and the median where people are trying to summarize it and trying to figure out where to cast doubt. What I am telling you is this. It doesn't really matter. This man entered into a sexual relationship with maybe the last person of the gender he prefers on this earth that you should. It does not matter if she invited it, encouraged it, requested it, demanded it. Mel Tucker is 110% responsible for anything else that occurs after this point. All right. That's it for me for Single Wing. If you are a patron, you can jump over to the patron feed right now. We'll do a little mailbag action. If not, I'll see you guys on the big show this Wednesday and on Patreon on Friday.